Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins almost halfway down Daf Ayin Gimel, 18 lines from the top. The Gemara opens up with a situation where someone pays for wine. He pays an owner of a vineyard, but he's not buying the wine immediately. He's rather paying for the wine at a price whereby he in effect is buying grapes as they are in the middle of their development. So he's that we'll see in the when we learn Rashi is referred to as a state of either smaldar or bosar. The grapes are not even fully ripe. And he's paying for the grapes and at their interim level of development in anticipation of later on receiving wine. So obviously he is paying a lesser amount of money than he would pay if he were buying wine for immediate delivery. So is this a problem where he is paying less than the eventual price of wine? He is waiting for delivery and later gets something worth more. So in what we are describing, you've got basically all of the elements of ribis, whereby you're paying a certain amount, getting more later, and all as a result of your waiting. The time factor, this is the point we've been mentioning so many times in our shiurim during this perek. So if you're a first-time listener, by all means, you are really entering into the middle of a major theme. The element of time, waiting, plus increased value that you will receive later on, that has all the trappings of ribis. Can that arrangement then possibly be allowed? So now we turn to the Gemara text, 18 lines from the top, Pardesa, a vineyard, Rav Osar Ushmuel Shori. Now the Gemara is extremely terse. All that you have is one word, Pardesa, and Rav says that this arrangement is forbidden, and Shmuel says it is allowed. Without Rashi, I don't think one could move even one inch forward in this Gemara. So Rashi, four lines under the Gemara text. Pardesa, liknois yayin min hakerem, to purchase wine from a vineyard, bedomim pchusim, at a reduced rate, kol peros shonazu, you're buying the harvest of this year, bekach vekach, at a whatever rate, veloichin achar shehin boisar o smodar, and you're buying the grapes after they've reached these are different names of grape development. Smodar is a very early stage after the blossom falls off and the fruit starts to appear, and bosar is a further level of development. Aval adayin lo higia lebikur, but it hasn't become ripe yet. At that point, you're paying for those grapes, the grapes of that vineyard, and you are anticipating delivery of wine several months later. Rav Osar. Rav does not allow this arrangement. Mishum hakdomas mois lizman habotzir, because you're advancing the money ahead of the botzir. Botzir is the harvest season. Kamoizil gabe, you're gonna get a reduced rate. The have agar notale, and that is agar schar, that's benefit or profit, notale for waiting. Kevon, so now that's Rav's approach. You're benefiting by the getting the reduced rate, or in other terms, you're getting more than this money would ordinarily buy if you were paying for the wine straight out. And why are you getting more? Because you're willing to wait. And that, in Rav's opinion, is strictly forbidden. Shmuel, we continue in the Gemara. Shmuel, sorry. Shmuel says it's okay. And what's the reason for Shmuel allowing it? So we have to just review one of the major principles that we've been using all along the way, and that is the issue of ribis surfaces when you are guaranteed a return without having to experience any loss. If in your deal you are subjecting yourself to risk, possible loss, then it becomes allowed. When there is no risk involved, even if you're dealing with a sale and purchase arrangement, a commercial transaction, it has all the characteristics of a loan. And when you speak in terms of a loan, you're dealing with ribis d'oraisa, Torah level ribis. What is the nature of a loan? As we've said so many times in the past, you're guaranteed a return of that principal. Guaranteeing a return creates an arrangement that has the characteristics of a loan, even if it's a purchase of an item. However, in this case, what happened? You bought the grapes at their interim level of development in anticipation of wine. Are you definitely going to get wine? Well, let's see what the Gemara says. Shmuel says this arrangement is allowed. Kevon dehavi bei tiwa, since at times there could be tiwa. Tiwa is the ruination of the vineyard. The grapes might never reach their level of harvest or level of development. And Rashi gives examples. It could have a hailstorm or a rainfall that's destructive or frost that will cause a total loss. And the purchaser accepts upon himself, and this is the key point that Rashi makes, the purchaser accepts upon himself all of this potential loss. The purchaser accepts upon him this risk. Therefore, it's not similar to a loan, and therefore it is okay. So what the Gemara says, since you have tiwa, the possible loss situation, lo mechsikaga notale, it doesn't appear like a profit for waiting for the delivery of something worth more later. Omar Rav Simi Bar Chiya Umodi Rav. Rav will concede that where there is the following, that you can pay and get the wine in this way. What's the situation that Rav concedes to? So the Gemara says, Beturi. Again, a very terse Gemara. Turi means when you're dealing with oxen, denofish psidayo, there is a great amount of loss when you're using oxen. Well, what do we mean by that? So once again, Rashi explains. Rashi says, Umoidi Rav Beturi, Mokim Sheboitzim Kromim Beshvorim Ba'agola, in places where the harvest is done with oxen drawing a cart. They draw the cart between the rows of vines. The weight of the oxen trampling upon the vine roots causes a significant amount of loss. And since you have that loss element, that can be experienced, Rav says it's okay. The payment is okay. The explanation that we just gave is based on the Rashi that appears on the Daf Lamed, Omid Aleph, earlier in our Masechta, Rashi over here speaks in terms of the oxen that the purchaser brings. He brings his own oxen for harvesting the vineyard. The feet of the oxen get hurt, injured during the harvesting process, causing the purchaser a loss. That point, by the way, is referred to also in the Rashi back on Daf Lamed Omed Aleph. The main point, though, is that where the purchaser pays a sum of money, but exposes himself to a loss as well, then it's this kind of purchase arrangement, even Rav concedes, is allowed. We have a new marking, and on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei / Mivneh heading, the trapezoid or volcano shape highlights Eitzos Shenitnu, advice that's given, Kidei Limnoa Bayasha Ribis, in order to prevent problems of interest. Eitzel Anoshim Shemarvichim Achrei Shimtinu Lekabel Tashlum HaMagia Lahem, with regard to people that appear to profit after waiting for the pay that is due to them. So whenever you have these elements of increased profit later on as a result of waiting for the money, you are dealing with a situation that's ripe for a ribbis problem. You can see we have a double underline highlighting and indicate on the side, Lemi Nitnu Eitzos, unto whom are these pieces of advice given. So we have the first double underline, Lahano Deshavshi Shivsha, and we'll have to explain that when we get to it in the Gemara, and Lahano Demintari Bagi, and that too we will have to explain. Now the Gemara, Omar Lahu Shmuel, Lahano Deshavshi Shivsha. Shmuel says to those that are engaged in this activity, what is that? So again, let's look into Rashi. Shavshi Shivsha, Baalei Batim, Hamalvim Tvua Larisim Lezera, Umishamin Lahem Lagurin Tvua Chadasha. These are field owners that loan grains to the sharecroppers. The sharecroppers are the ones that will cultivate the field, and the owner of the fields loans to them grains for planting, and these sharecroppers will pay back fresh grains at the time of harvest. So Shmuel says to them, Hafochu ba'ara ki hechi dekoni lechu gufa di'ara. Rashi, on this, you will notice, doesn't elaborate. So we'll just translate the Gemara as it is. He says to them that they should turn over the earth, hafochu ba'ara, so as to gain possession of the ground itself. And according to the Nemukei Yosef that you can find on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis in the Rif pages, with this they become like owners, like partners in the ground, and therefore that which they receive from the owner is simply an act that partners would do in their ownership of the land. Vilo, if they don't do that, the Gemara goes on to say, Havya lechu kehalvav aser, it will then appear to be like a loan and forbidden. Now, you have to understand or make the assumption that the value of the grains that they will, these sharecroppers will be returning later during the harvest season, or when they reach, actually it's even later than the harvest season. The Goren, Rashi says, is the time that they reach the granary are worth more than the grains they are receiving now for planting purposes. So that if they are to be allowed to return the loan of grains they are receiving, they would have to convert the relationship into one of a partnership rather than a lender and borrower. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Lahu Rava Lano Demintari Bagi. Rava says to those that are guards of fields. Rashi, and here we have to pay attention to the details. Rashi Mintari Bagi. Before we go on, I just noticed in the course of saying this shir that there's a Rashi that has an expression that is different than the language that we had in the Gemara. Sometimes it makes it hard to find the Rashi when the girsa that Rashi has seems to be different than that which we see in the actual Gemara text. In our Gemara text, with regard to the Shavshi Shivsha, it said Hafochu Ba'ara. Rashi says Sayu Begufa Di'ara Bechoreshu Bekotzir Ma'at. That means that these people that were Shavshi Shivsha, they should help in the harvest, in the plowing and the harvest as well. And we can assume then that the reference Rashi made before to the Arisim, these were sharecroppers that were charged primarily with planting. If, however, they expand their efforts into assistance in the plowing and the harvesting, so then that's okay. Then we say they become like shutfin, as we saw in the Nemuke Yosef explanation. Now we go back to where we left off before. Omar luhu rava lano demintari bagi. Rashi mintari bagi shomrei hakamois. These are people hired to guard the standing grains. Ad hakotzir. They're hired till the harvest season. So Rava says to these people that are hired for guarding the standing grains till the harvest season, when do they get paid? They actually get paid later, at a time beyond the actual harvest. Let's just bear that in mind as we go on in the Gemara. Rava says to them, Poku hafochu beveidori. Go and continue your work in the actual granary. Continue assisting in the threshing of the grains. What does that do? Ki hechi dolo tishtalem schirus didchu ad ahishaita. So that your wage will not be paid until that time. In other words, we're establishing a continuum of work from not only the time of the actual harvest, but beyond that, the schirus ena mishtalemes ela basof. When we speak about wages, wages are paid at the end of the work. Vahi shaita oizole de kamoizli gabaychu. And at that time, so you are then getting your pay in the Mosley fashion. We'll explain what that is by looking at the Rashi. Hafochu bebeidori. So we're continuing now in the Rashi. Sayu es b'nei habika bedishas tvua bagoren. Help the field owners in the threshing of the grains. B'hoilocha ubahavo siwa purta. It's a minor type of additional assistance. Lefi shebishvil she'atem mamtinim scharchem ad gemar miruach hagoren. Because you are willing to wait for your pay until the end of the piling up of the grains in the granary. That's a point in time after the grains have been threshed. Because of your willingness to wait for your pay till that time, heim noisnim lochem matona yoiser al scharchem. Now this expression is what the Gemara was making reference to or I should say what Rava was having them to, let's say, avoid. Technically speaking, their official services ended at the time of actual harvest. When did they get paid? Later on. And we know that the grain owners, the field owners, paid these guards a little more. They gave them an extra gift. That extra gift is a problem, because that extra gift was in exchange for their willingness to wait for their pay later than their efforts or their hired purpose finished. Lefikach, Rashi goes on, Sayu oisam, continue helping them, Kidei shetei pulaschem mushechis ad klois hagurin, so that your involvement, your work, your efforts continue until the end of the grain season. Uschirus eino mishlamas alibasov, wages are paid when you finish the job. The einkan hamtona, and since you're continuing till the end of the grain season, there's no delay, there's no waiting. V'im yosifu lochem, and if they pay you an additional amount, ein ze schar hamtona scharchem, that's not a function anymore of your waiting for your wages. There was no waiting because you continued work till the very end. Ella azole mosli legabaychu. It appears that this extra amount that the owners would pay these workers was in terms of grain. Hence the Gemara's expression of azole mosli, which really means cheaper rate, would mean that they paid them a larger amount of grain as their payment than the actual value of their work would have yielded if they were to purchase grain with that cash value. But our main purpose, or the main point of this Gemara, is that if they continue their work beyond the point of harvest, but rather till the very end, the point in time that they would ordinarily be paid, so you don't have any let's say extra profit for waiting for pay, being that they worked till the last moment, there's no element of their waiting for pay, but rather, as the Gemara says, Schirus is Mishalem is Basof, that's the point in time that they were entitled to receive their pay, and the fact that they were getting a little more, that is not a problem anymore of interest or of payment for waiting. There was no element of waiting in this case, the case that they work till the very end. We continue in the Gemara, but before we do so, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, the Nosei, Minhagoi Shel Rava. Rava's practice, Hayashayna Ma'achirim, was different than others, Be'inyan Ta'arich Shel Siluku Arisim, regarding the date at which he would dismiss his sharecroppers, the Kabolas Tashlum HaChakirus, and the amount that they would receive for their work, or the amount that they would have, they would pay the owner, as we'll see in the Gemara. There's a marking that you can see, a triangle that appears, and it highlights, you can see, the expression ka'achil mar ribis. So the triangle that you see here and the one that you see on Omid Beis, about a quarter of the way up, a quarter of the way down from the top, again you can see that that triangle. We have a note here, he'ora ad Rav Chamo the Omid Beis, 10 shuros misof Omid, until we get to 10 lines from the bottom of Omid Beis. HaGemara Mavio Mispar Maisim. The Gemara will feature a number of different incidents. HaSimunim Shemofim Ad Lisham. The various markings that appear till then. Mi'odim Litzor Kesher Bein Keta LeKeta. We'll attempt to create a connection between the various sections using the markings. So as you go along in the Gemara, you'll see how a subsequent incident has a connection to the previous incident by virtue of either terms or other references in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara at hand. Ta'omru lei rabbonon l'rava. The rabbi said to Rava, ka'achu mar ribis. You are guilty of enjoying interest, of collecting interest. That's a very heavy charge. So, the kule alma shakli arbo'o misalki larisa benisan. Everyone in the area would receive four and dismiss their workers in Nisan. Before we go any further, let's describe the general arrangement. Even though the Gemara uses the word oris, which usually is an arrangement between workers and owners of fields where a percentage division would take place, there's another kind of work arrangement where workers would guarantee the owner of the field a fixed amount, as opposed to a percentage, a fixed amount of the harvest of the product that they're working on, and the workers would pay the owner that amount, and the workers would keep the rest of the harvest. So that arrangement we call chakirus. It turns out in this Gemara that the word arioris can include that kind of arrangement. So the rabbis tell Rava, everyone in this area has the workers paying the owner four. That's arba'a, four kur. Kur is a dry measure. Four kur for their chakirus payment to the owner. And the owners would say, go home in Nisan. Mor notar luhu ad iyar. The rabbis told Ravia, you, notar, you wait up till a month later. V'shokil shisa. And you then take six kur as payment. So superficially, it would appear that in exchange for waiting, he's willing to wait for his take. Rava is willing to wait for his payment from the workers. He is taking more. Well, there you go. You've got your problem of ribis, waiting and then receiving more later on. Omar Lahu. Rava says to them, Atun ko avdisin shelo kadin. He says to those that were criticizing him, they're quite the opposite. You are problematic. You are doing koavdisan. Your practice is shalokadin, is not proper. Ara laoris mishtabed. The ground, the land that they are working on is really bound to them. Iatun misalkisu luhu minisan. If you dismiss them in Nisan, which is the month before Iyar, so if you dismiss them a month early, mafsidosai lehu bekama, you're causing them a loss of whatever additional produce they could realize from the land. Ano natarno lehu ad Iyar. I wait. I let them stay there longer. Umarvachno lehu bekama, and that enables them to profit even more. So now we take a look at the Rashi, three lines from the bottom, where we see Rashi describing Rava's response to them. Atun hu de avdisu shalo kadin. You, by dismissing them in Nisan, are behaving improperly with regard to the workers. Shatem misalkin oisan benisan, v'adayin lo nisa'asat vua b'kosheha. By dismissing them in Nisan, that's a point in time that the grains haven't fully developed in their stalks. Umafsidin oisin harbe, and you're causing them a great loss. Viara larisa mishabid, the ground is bound to them. Ad de tis baad she tis bashel atvua kol tzorcha, until the grains are fully ripened. and you are actually causing them to leave early. The hilchach shelo kadinhi kifiyaschem, your forcing them to leave is actually improper. Ela anana tarna, Rashi goes on, lehu, I wait to them adiyar umavachnu lehu bekamo uschar sodi ani notel, and I am taking the payment for my field that I've given to them. Shelekachani mafriz al chakirosa, and because of that, I charge more the chakirus rate. V'eino bischar hamtonas dalit purim. It's not because I'm waiting for the pay of the four kor. So I'm taking six, not as a function of waiting, but because I'm enabling them to cultivate a field that will yield them greater profits. So there's no, as I understand this, there's no waiting factor as far as Rava is concerned. We now continue at the top of Omid Beis. Immediately in the Gemara, you might notice a long marking, a Maisa. We have an incident. On the side in the margin, we have a topic heading, which reads, Maisa, an incident, the Rabbi Mori, involving Rabbi Mori. Rabbi Mori was the son of Rachel. Rachel is a woman's name, and we don't find that often in the Shas. So Rashi gives a little background that this Rav Mori was fathered by a man that was non-Jewish, who had intimacy with this Rachel, who was the daughter of the great Amora Shmuel. She had been taken captive and was impregnated by a gentleman that was not Jewish at the time. So in respect to Rav Mori, he's referred to as the son of Rachel, in effect a grandson of Shmuel. Anyway, this gentleman, Rav Mori, Rashi says, our note on the side says, Shekibel Bayis Kemashkoin, he received a house as collateral, Mi Nochri, from an idol worshipper, Shelova Mimenu Kesef, that borrowed from him, from this Rav Mori, money. So Rav Mori is holding on to a house that he received as collateral in exchange for having loaned this idol worshipper some money. Also, Goy Chazar Umochar Abayas L'Rava. This particular idol worshipper then sold the house that was held on to by Rav Mori as collateral. The Goy, the Gentile, sold the house to Rava. HaGemora Mitzyacheses L'Tashumi Aschirus Sherav Mori L'Rava. The Gemara will relate to rent payment that Rav Mori will offer to pay to Rava. Rav Mori is living in the house that, true, he received as collateral. But in the meantime, Rava, unbeknownst to him, this background, Rava bought the house from the guy. Now the Gemara. Rav Mori bar Rachel, Mishkein lei hahu nochri beisa. Rav Mori was a lender of money, and a nochri, an idol worshipper, Mishkein, means gave him, that's to Rav Mori, a beisa, a house, as collateral. Hadar zovno l'Rava. And then this idol worshipper sold the house to Rava. Notar Tresar Yarchishosa. Rav Mori waited 12 months. Shokal Agarbesa Amti Le L'Rava. And after 12 months, he then started paying Rava rent. I think you can assume from this story that Rav Mori was living in that house. Omar Le Rav Mori says, Haidelo Amtoi L'Mor Agarbesa Adhoidna. That which I did not pay you rent until now, the stam mashkanta shasa. This is a point that we've seen earlier, that an unqualified mashkon, stam, means without any stipulation, A mashkon is understood to be for 1 year. E boy nochri lesalki lo have motzi mesalki li. If that idol worshiper wanted to remove me from his house, so within those 12 months he could not do so. That is what the term mashkon conveys, that you are entitled as the lender to hold on to and benefit from that collateral for a period of 1 year. Now, hashto, now that the year is past, lishkomor agar besa. Now, I will pay you rent. You're the owner of the house. Omar le, Rava response. Yavi adana da'ave memushkon le lamor. Had I known that the house was given to you as collateral, lo havas avinana le, I wouldn't have even bought the house. Hashto kedinehem avdina loch. And now I am going to deal with you using their standard, the Gentile standard. What's that? Kol emas delo misalki bezuzi, as long as the loan has not been paid off, you are the lender, and you haven't received payment of the repayment of your loan yet. Lo shokil agar besa. I will not take rent. Basically, it's your house for all intents and purposes. And the malve, the lender, as long as he has not received payment of the loan, he continues living in the house free. That's what, well, Rava says that their standard is, let's read the words again, kol emas delo mesalki bezuzi lo shokil agar besa. As long as lenders who are holding on to houses as collateral have not received payment of loans, there is no rent payment. Ano nami, I too, says Rava, lo shakil no minoch agar besa. I'm not going to accept from you the rent money, ad mesalkina loch bezuzi, until he, that Gentile that borrowed the money from you, pays off his loan to you. As we go on in the Gemara, we made note of this earlier, but allow your eye to skim ahead. Here we have a situation where Gemara markings is taking liberties using a number of different geometric forms to create connections between various sections of the Gemara. So on the side, under our Mivneh heading, we have an accumulation or an assortment of different shapes. You have the diamond, a triangle, a trapezoid, a double underline. And we note, behet'ein leha'ora begemora be'omer aleph, in conformity to the note that we made on Omer Aleph, matra simunim elu, the purpose of these shapes, litzor kesher be mikra le mikra, to create a connection between incidents. So here you have again a triangle. Notice the ka achli rabiso, that connects you back to the story before. The diamond that you see here, chazi mor rabbonon, you'll see later a diamond where you see a similar chazi mor hani rabbonon. Let's continue now in the Gemara. Omar le Rava mi Barnish le Ravashi. Rava from the community of Barnish says to Ravashi, Chazi mor rabbona de koachli rabisa. Do you see the rabbis that are profiting from interest? Wow, that's again a serious condemnation, a serious charge. The Yavi zuzi achamra betishrei. They pay for wine early in the month of Tishrei, and that's a point in time where the wine prices have not yet been established. Umivchiri la beteves, literally, then they choose their wine in teves. Now Rashi adds to this, umivchiri le beteves, note linyayin tov, they take good wine in Teves. V'ihavu shakli le mitishrei. Had they taken the wine from Tishrei, dilmo havi machmitz, it might have gone sour, become vinegar. Vishtakach, and the result then is the Mishum da Akdimu Mois Bitishrei Vadayan Lo Yotza Hashar, the fact that they paid money, they paid ahead of time, they paid in Tishrei prior to the formal wine price being established. Kibel Olov Hamoicher Achrayas, the seller accepted upon himself a guarantee that they would receive good quality wine in Teves. This is not similar to a case where you're paying money in advance to someone that has grains, has wheat, and you'll take delivery later on when it's worth more, being that he has the grains now. It's as if you become the owner of it, and their increased value is in your possession. Not so over here. Why? Lefi shayin rogi lahachmitz v'shemo shelo hichmitz. Wine, it's, we'll say, not unusual for wine to go bad. And the wine that I'm paying for now, maybe it will go bad by Teves. And yet, what was happening, they would put down money for wine in Tishrei and wait for delivery in Teves. And in Teves, they would choose good quality wine when that which they paid for in Tishrei might have gone bad. So, is it not a problem of Ribbis, the fact that they put money down early, waited for delivery, and were guaranteed good wine later on? I add that word guaranteed because that is one of the major elements of interest. We continue in the Gemara. Omar lay, so the Rav Ashi responds to Rovo mi Barnish. Rav Ashi says, In hunami achamro koyavi acholo lo koyavi. When they put money down, they put money down for wine. They didn't put money down for vinegar. Meikora dechamro chamro, dechalo chalo. Rashi adds here, Meikora, misho shelokhu, from the time that they put the money down, dechamro chamro, dechalo chalo. Rashi continues, kilkulo besocho hu, elisheno nikr, viyayin hamekuko lo lokachemenu. The nature of, let's say, vinegar and the vinegar that comes from wine is that the elements that cause the wine to sour, to go bad, are present at the very outset. So that which turns out to become vinegar was really vinegar, though not noticeable, at the very outset. So when they put money down for wine, they were buying wine, not a barrel of crushed grapes, liquid grapes that were already with the vinegar element in it. So that there isn't any problem of their receiving, of their, we'll say, being guaranteed wine when otherwise they would have been subjected to possible loss. Because, as we said, when you pay for wine, you expect delivery of wine and not vinegar. And just to repeat the main point, at the very outset, that which later on turns out to be vinegar really was vinegar at the outset. And as the Gemara goes on to say, Hahi shaita hu de ka mavchari. Namely, from the point in time that he paid the money, it was already, I don't want to say clear, but the elements of wine were already there. What would be wine remains wine. Simply wasn't noticeable until Teves. So that in simple terms, these people weren't benefiting in their receipt of wine by having paid early. Ravina have Yohiv Zuzi Livne Akro de Shanvisa. Ravina paid money before the grape harvest season for delivery of wine at the time of the harvest. V'shachi le tve kufisa. And these people in this B'nai Akra de Shanvasa, Akra is a reference to a community. Shanvasa is the name of a river, so it's a community on the Shanvasa River that Ravina paid money to before the grape harvest season. And when eventually they delivered to him wine, they added a little bit. That's Tve Kufisa. They added a little bit on their own, not as a result of some kind of condition, or not as a result of some kind of stipulation for his having paid early, he would get more later. Not so. They added on their own. Also the Kame de Ravashi. Ravina came to Ravashi. Omar le Mishori. Ravina asked, "Is this allowed? That is my receiving from them a little more okay?" Omar le Ravashi says, "In, it's okay." Achuli hu de komachli gavoch. Rashi says, "Achuli komachli gavoch." Rashi across from here. Hail velo pasakti. Since you didn't stipulate this addition at the outset, umidaitam noisim lochen, on their own they are adding it. V'ein maskirim lomar, they don't mention v'scharmo isecho shebetelus etzleno, that we're giving you this extra as reward, as payment for your money that was by us during the interim period. Matona bi'almuhu, it's a simple gift that's not related to your having put the money down in advance. Omar Le, Ravino says, Ho Aro Lav Didhu He. This is another issue that Ravino is raising. The people that I was dealing with and getting wine from them is from land that's not really theirs. And maybe the wine that I am receiving is theft. There's a Rashi adds to this. V'ho'ara lav diduhi elo shoyashirim. These people that were, let's say, in possession of land were people of means. V'royim b'nei odom shenichlus l'oseim u'borchu v'noisin masa karka l'melech. They took possession of land that was owned by others that, in the meantime, ran from here without paying their land tax. Could be that they ran because the taxes were too burdensome and they abandoned the land. And these people that I, Ravina says, was dealing with are people that paid the taxes for this land, for these vineyards. Maybe the wine that I'm buying from them is theft. The karkin in Excelis. The land itself can't be stolen. Vare, Ishel Bailim, Uperes Gezel. The land really belongs to those that ran away, and the produce is, as far as it may be concerned, is actually stolen produce. So this is what was Ravina's second issue. Omar Le, so Ravashi addressed that as well. Aro Latasko Mishabda. The land is bound to the taxes. Tasko sounds like the word tax, and that's what it is. Land is interdependent or intertwined to the payment of its taxes. Umalka Omar. And the king declares, you'll notice this double underline will help us connect this to a Gemara a little later, where there's another double underline. And the king declares, Mandioy of Tasko le Chularo, whoever pays the taxes is the one that's entitled to benefit from the land. So these B'nai Akro de Shanvaso that you are dealing with are the ones that actually paid the taxes. Hence, they're the legitimate owners of the produce of that land. Omar le Rav Popo le Rava, Chazi Mar Hani Rabbanan Diavi Zuzi Akargo de Inchi Umeshabdi Behu Tvei. Now this expression in the diamond is similar to the expression we saw above, where Rava is being told by Rav Papa that there's a problem amongst the rabbis in their behavior. In other words, what seems to be a problem? What's the problem? That these Rabbonan pay a karga. This is a head tax. They pay the people's head tax, and then those people for whom they paid the tax become, we'll say, enslaved to these rabbis. Is that not a problem? That because the Hani Rabbon and these rabbis paid the karga, the tax of other individuals, they then, mishabdi means to put them to work or literally enslave them extensively. Omar Le, Rava says to Rav Papa, you thought to criticize these Rabbanan. Hashta ichu shechivu lo amri lechu homilsa. He says, if I would have died, then I wouldn't have told you the following. Hachi, Omar Rav Sheshes, this is what Rav Sheshes says. Mohar kayu dahani. The word mohar kayu, Rashi says choisim avdus shelahem. They're, we'll call it their title. These people's title is entrusted in the king's treasury. Everyone is in a manner of speaking. Or all of these people are slaves to the king. Umalka Omar, and the king declares, Man de lo yoiv karga, whoever doesn't pay the tax, lishtabid leman de yoiv karga, shall be enslaved to he who does pay the tax. So that, in theory, all of the people, possibly the entire community, were potentially enslaved to the king, and the king ruled that whoever pays their taxes is entitled to enslave them. If the person himself would pay his tax, so he would be a free man, so to speak. He wouldn't be bound to anyone else. But if they don't pay their taxes, whoever does pay them is entitled to enslave them. Rashi adds one word that might be of note, the word karga. Rashi says kesef gulgalta, that's a head tax. Shehoyu kol ha-yehudim kol echad noisin kesef gulgalta lemelech. All of the Jews paid, were expected to pay their own tax. And what we saw here is that there were those that didn't pay their taxes, others paid instead, and they had a right to enslave them. And Rashi adds, that's a function of dina de machusa dina. That's the law of the land is law, and as long as the law is applied equally to all of the community or all of the population, then it has it's a binding factor. We would question the legitimacy of the law of the land when it's not applied to all citizens in an equal fashion. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rav Se'oram, that's a name, Achva de Rava. Rav Se'oram was the brother of Rava. Havetokif Inshi de lo Malu. He would seize people that were not good. Lo Malu means improper individuals. Umaya Lahu Buguharko de Rava. And he would put them into Rava's chariot. Omar Le, Rava Shapikrav, this what you are doing is good. In other words, you're seizing upon people that are improper. It's almost a form of jailing, if you will. And he says, Rava comments that what you are doing is okay. The Tanina, we have the following source for Isa Sheino Noye Kishra. If you see someone behaving improperly, from where do you know that you're entitled to enslave him? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Li'olam bohem tavodu, uva'acheichem b'nei Yisrael. Here we're reading a Pasuk, and when you look in the original text, the issue is, where do you put the comma? Where do you put the pause? So, in this case, we're reading a pasuk that describes enslaving those captive nations, and it says, and your brethren as well. So you're allowed to enslave them as well. Yachal afilu nohe kashur. Does that mean that you can take, you can force a Jew that behaves properly as well to be enslaved to you? Talmud Lomar, with the same pasuk we just cited, but if you move the comma a bit, you move it backwards in the pasuk, you would then read uva'achechem bnei Yisrael ish v'achiv lo sir doibo v'farach. That in contrast to the captive nations that you conquer, you, when it comes to your fellow Jew, v'achechem bnei Yisrael, you shall not enslave them. So, just to review the point, if you see someone behaving improperly, so then you're entitled to enslave them, just like the captive idol worshippers that you conquer. If, however, you see people behaving properly, then you're not entitled to enslave them. They are contrasted with the captive nations that you conquer. Omar of Chamo, Haiman Dioiv Zuzi Lechavre, Lemizvan Le Chamra. One who advanced money, gave money to his friend to buy for him wine. Rashi says, Lemizvan Le Chamra, Liknois Lo Yayin, Bizman Habotzir, to buy for you wine at the time of the wine harvest or the grape harvest season. So you gave a man wine for that purpose, and we go on in the Gemara, uposha velo zovin lei, and through irresponsibility and negligence, the man did not buy the wine for you. Mishalem lei kideka ozil a parvisa de zulshifat. Parvisa de zulshifat is the name of a place. So the person that you gave the wine, that you gave the money to, it will supply you with wine in accordance with the price that wine is sold over there. Rashi adds, "A parvez of the zulshifat, shem hamokum sheyayin nikach v'nimkar l'shom l'rov halakuchos yayin b'mois habotzir." There's a note that we've included on the side that makes reference to the Rosh in Simen Samach Tes, and our note reads, "Umayri kishiisno imo shim lo yikne shiamtzi lo yayin mishelo." That he made a stipulation that if you don't buy the wine, then you will provide, you, the man who received the money, will have to provide wine from his own stock. And the Gemara says, what's the rate of the wine? What's the cost of the wine? So it will be in accordance with the price of wine in Parvisa de Zulshafat. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Amemar. Amemar reports, Amrisa Lishmaitse Kamedir Asvid Min Ahardo. I said over this teaching, the teaching of Rav Chamo, I said it to Rav Zvid, Omar. Ki Omar Rav Chamo, that the receiver of the money is obligated to supply wine. In other words, he didn't buy the wine as he was requested, and because of that, he now has to see to it that the one who gave the money gets wine. Hanimili b'ayin stam. That's when the initial instructions were, buy for me wine, without stipulating any specific wine. Avo b'ayin zeh, if the money was given to buy this particular wine, specific or specified wine, lo, then the one who received the money would not be expected to supply the wine. Miyemar demizavni le nihaleu. If you gave money for specific wine, who says that the suppliers would have agreed to sell the wine to this individual in the first place? so that there was, you cannot bind someone for because he was irresponsible for a situation that might not have come to reality, I would like to say fruition, there's a pun over there, that may not have come to realization or to fruition in the first place. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi goes further. He says, that's why he's labeled here as number two. Rav Ashi says, afilu yayin stam nami lo, even if the money was given for the purchase of wine, without specifying the wine, the individual who did not come through, who did not make the purchase, is nevertheless not bound, not obligated to supply wine from his own supply. My taimo, why not? Answer, asmachto hi vasmachto lo kanyo. Let's take a look at Rashi. Asmachto hi afilu hivtichoi viomar. Even if the one who received the money guaranteed and said, im eini kaina loch, if I don't buy wine for you, Ephra Mishali, I will supply you from my own wine. Ein zu ela asmachta. Those are mere words to create a sense of confidence and reliability, but nothing more than that. They're not. It's not a condition that is actually binding. Why not? Hayil v'lo kanum yadu. There was no kinyan. There was no gesture of acquisition to confirm that guarantee. So it's, well, mere words to make a person feel a sense of reliance or a sense of confidence that he will get what he's ordering, but that is not binding. This is a concept that we've seen before and appears at many places throughout the Shas, the concept of asmachta. The term asmachta has as its root the word samach mem chof samach, rely upon me. But that is not binding. The Gemara asks the Rav Ashi, "My shno meha? What is the difference between this case and the following Tanaic source, Tisnan?" This source is making reference to a person that would work as a sharecropper, if you will. He's receiving a field from a field owner to split the harvest. 50% to each one in the harvest, and the person who received the field ended up not producing anything. He didn't plow the field. He let it lay fallow, and the worker says, "Let's read the source." Disnan im oivir, the worker, the sharecropper, announces to the owner, "Im oivir, if I leave the field fallow, the lo avid, and do not cultivate it, ashalem b'meitfo, I will pay you good. I will compensate you from good quality stuff, good quality produce." And he is bound by that. So do we not see a case where someone announces, makes a statement that would seem to be designed to create a feeling of confidence on the part of the owner? And if he, in fact, doesn't come through, he is bound. So, and we don't call it a mere asmachta. Why then did Rav Ashi say that when a person received money from someone who wanted to buy wine, and the money receiver didn't buy it, even if he stipulated verbally that if I don't buy you the wine, I will supply you from my own. And Rav Ashi said that kind of statement is not binding. Here we have a worker says, if I don't work the field, I will pay you from good stuff. It is binding. The Gemara says there's a difference. Hasam biyado. In that case with the sharecropper, it was within his power to work. He decided not to work, so he has to make good on it. He's completely responsible for his own behavior. We continue at the top of Daf Ayin Dalet. Hacha lav biyado. In the case of the wine, the sale of the wine was not in his control. Maybe the wine producers, the wine suppliers, wouldn't have agreed to sell this individual the wine in the first place. Therefore, when something is not in your control and you start making guarantees and promises, Rav Ashi says that we will still view as asmachta. According to most opinions, as opposed to Rav Yossi, asmachta lo kanya, it's not binding. We have a topic heading on the side of the Gemara here at the upper part of Daf Ayin Dalin. Shloisha shenosnu kesef l'shliuch liknui savuram ubesof hukona rak lechad. Three people gave money to an agent, to a shliach, to buy merchandise for them. And at the end, he bought only for one of the three people. The Gemara. Omar Rava, Hani Beit Losa, Diavi Zuzi, Lechad, Lemizva, Lehumidi. There were three people that gave money to one person, to buy for them something. Vezovan Lechad Minayu, and he bought for one. Zovan Lekulu, that purchase is distributed amongst all three. V'lo amoran ella delo tsar v'chosim inish l'chudei. This is the case. If when the money was given, it was not given in separate pouches of money that were tied up. That's tsar is tied up v'chosim and sealed each one separately. Avol, but if those three people gave money to this agent, and each one gave his own amount in a separate fashion. Avol tzor v'chosem inish inish l'chudei, l'man de zovan zovan, l'man de lo zovan, lo zovan. The one for whom he bought, so he gets the merchandise. In other words, he would have, in this scenario, he would have used only one of the three pouches of money that he received for the purchase. So that whoever gave him that particular pouch will benefit from the purchase. Omar Rav Papi Mishmei de Rava. We have a note on the side called the Nosei, the topic heading, and there's a key word that we'll see in the Gemara itself. We've dashed underline si tumta. That's the word. What is that? Roshem shiroshman al gabi chovios laharois shekvar nimkaru. It's some type of design or sign that one makes on a barrel of wine. If a man is a wine producer and he sells barrels to numerous people, when he makes a sign on one particular barrel, that's a sign that it has been sold. We're not talking here about anything further. Other than a sign made on a barrel, what that represents. This piece of Gemara, you'll see, lasts just a very, very few lines, but it actually is the basis for understanding the power of gestures beyond the formal methods of kinyan, formal acts of acquisition that are featured in the Talmud. Do other acts, other than the formal acts mentioned in the Mishnayos and the Gemara, many of you may be familiar with Meshicha, Hagbah, Mesira. These are different acts, formal acts of acquisition, at which point the deal is considered irreversible. What about other acts? Can they also represent points of no return where a deal is sealed? So, Omar Rav Papa, Mishmei de Rava, Hai, Si Tumta Kanya. Rashi, the second line from the top, Si Tumta, Chosem, sign, She Roishmin, Hachenvonim, Al Achovios Shilayin, that vendors make on barrels of wine. Sheloichin harbe biyachad, umanichin oison ba'oitzer habaylim. These chenvonim are people that will buy wine. They're vendors of wine. They'll sell to the public. They buy their wine from wine suppliers, and the barrels that they buy, they'll buy many barrels at once. and they leave the barrels in the otsar, the storage facility, the warehouse of the bailim, of the producer. And that's what Rashi means here. Umanichin oisan ba otsar habailim. Umalichin oisan achas achas limkor b'chanus. And what they did after they after they acquired a lot of barrels, they made signs on those barrels that these are barrels that we are acquiring. These store owners or bar owners who would sell the wine to the public, they would convey, transport barrels one by one to their shops. V'roishmen oisam ladas shekol harishumos nimkaros. And hence, all of the barrels that the chenvonim had made their marks on, it was known they are already, let's say, already purchased by these particular customers, these store owners. So the Rav Puppy, quoting Rava, says that the situmta, these marks made on the barrels, kanya, acquire. L'mayhil chesu, when you say they acquire, to what extent do they acquire? Rav Chaviv Omar l'mikni mamish. It's an actual form of acquisition. That if you are a bar owner and you want to acquire wine for your saloon, and you buy many barrels of wine from a wine producer, and you make marks on the barrels and leave them in the wine producer's storage facility, in his warehouse, those wine barrels are yours. They belong to you now, you the bar owner. Rabbonon, Amri, the Rabbonon disagree, and they say the marks that are made on the barrels, likvuli ole misha pora. That means the deal isn't sealed to the extent that it's irreversible, but if the wine supplier wants to back out and says, no, I decided not to deliver the wine to you, so he will be subjected to the misha pora, the curse that we've seen many times in the past for he who backs out of a deal. And the Gemara rules likbuli ole misha pora. The situmta doesn't clinch the deal to make it irreversible, but it does make it such that if he backs out, he will be subjected to the curse. Uba asra dinehigu lemikni mamish kanu. And this line of Gemara, as I said before, has a great deal of significance. Rashi says on the first narrow line, Uba asra v'chli lemikni shiragilin lirshom amanas shebedover zet tehei kenu yalo ki'ilu moshach kani, in places that the marks made on the barrels are designed to be in place of Meshicha drawing, Meshicha being one of the formal kinyonim, one of the formal kinyonim in the Shas. If the marks are understood in that community to serve instead of Meshicha, then it is a form of acquisition where the deal is clinched and it becomes irreversible at that point. So you can see from this Gemara, and those who research the issue of what constitutes a kinyan will find that in places that different gestures, customs, or practices constitute a deal clincher, it has it has Talmudic approval as being effective from this Gemara, even though it's not one of the formal forms of kinyan, forms of deal clinching that you find in the Shas. So it's let us say you are in a profession or in a segment of the commercial community where a handshake is considered a deal clincher. So that's it. You shook hands. That is the deal. It's you can't back out at that point. Paying money. Whereas in the Shas we know that paying cash does not clinch deals. Machlokis Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether paying cash can be effective on a rabbinic level or maybe it's not effective at all for clinching a deal. If you're in a society or a community where once you pay cash for something, that clinches the deal, or you hand someone a check, that clinches the deal, so be it. Based on this Gemara, if that's the minig, then it would be a deal clincher. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.